The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a warm welcome along to the William Hill Daily Racing Podcast. We're looking ahead to some of the action on Wednesday on this edition of the podcast. You'll hear all the racing live from 1:50pm with William Hill's Racing Radio. Stephen Powell, Craig Forsyth and Chris Pimlott in the studio to bring you the action on Wednesday from Catterick, Lingfield, Nottingham and Kempton Park. In the meantime, my name is Sam Norris and joining me to look ahead to some of those races is Rory Delaghi. How are you, Rory? Right?
Not bad, Sam. Not bad at all.
Good stuff. A busy, busy Easter weekend all capped off by the Irish National as well. Do you enjoy the racing at the weekend?
Yeah, it was. It's always a very busy time, yeah. Really, isn't it?
And Hectic yesterday.
I was in the studio yesterday for yesterday's action and that was quite a day of racing. And as you said, capped off by the Irish National, which was an incident-packed race. And of course, a great win for Katie Walsh, becoming the third woman now to win the Irish National. We're still waiting for the breakthrough here in the UK. It's possible that Katie might get a last-minute call-up to ride at Aintree on Saturday. That'd be interesting to see how that pans out.
Mm, yeah, it would do. And what did you make of the horse? Obviously, Thunder and Roses winning at odds of 20-1. It wasn't the easiest one to find, was it?
He wouldn't have been hard to find if he hadn't got the Cheltenham. He was fancied by quite a lot of people for the National Hunt Chase over 4 miles and never went a yard there. There's a fair possibility that he wasn't suited by the faster ground going at Cheltenham on the quick side, back to soft to heavy ground yesterday, and that might have made all the difference. But he didn't jump well at Cheltenham. He was beaten when he unseated his rider. But he had chances on some of his earlier form. He was highly regarded, was going into the festival with live chance of giving Sandra Hughes a big winner there, which would have been appropriate with the leading trainers award renamed in honour of her father. So that would have been terrific. Didn't work out. A lot of people were happy to leave him on the side, but it's worth bearing in mind that the first four home in the Irish National, all four novices, all four lightly weighted, none of them carrying more than 10 stone 6, and that tends to be a bit of a trend there, that if you can find an improver with not much weight on their back, it's a long way to go in bad ground, 3 mile 5 furlongs, and less than a third of the field finished. We lost a lot of horses at the first fence. Six of them went down there, all independently it seems as well, nothing brought down, and that changed the complexion of the race. They didn't go very hard, it seemed, but a lot of horses struggled to get home.
Yeah, absolutely. Fair assessment there. Anything else really catch your eye over the Easter period or yesterday?
There were one or two eye-catchers at Redcar yesterday, one of the meetings we were able to cover in full. Difficult to keep an eye on everything that was going on. A few jockeys riding very well. Young Sean Bowen at Chepstow rode another treble. He might even have had 4 in the day, actually, come the end of it. But riding exceptionally well. Of course, he qualified to ride in the Grand National. You've got to ride a minimum of 10 winners over fences to qualify to ride in the Grand National these days. And he managed that last week on Virat for Paul Nicholls. And again, showed what a promising jockey he was yesterday. And the other jockey who was doing tremendously well and has done for a few weeks now is David Bass. Not one of the better known names in the weighing room, often riding a second, third jockey to Nicky Henderson. But his strike rate over the last 3 or 4 weeks has been exceptional, and he rode another treble at Market Racing.
Yeah, certainly was a fantastic weekend of racing there. And we'll look ahead to some of tomorrow's action in due course, but we'll just give Aintree a quick preview, of course, coming up at the weekend. Of course, we've got the Grand National, the feature meeting, but we've had some decks out this morning for some of the supporting races, Rory. The Doombar Hurdle decks are out. No Hurricane Fly in the race, but Jezki, Rock on Ruby, Arctic Fire all line up for it, along with Blue Heron, Melodic Rendezvous, Vanito, and Volnay de Thay. Have you got a fancy in this race?
It's a difficult race to weigh up often because of the intermediate distance.
Yeah.
A lot of horses coming from the Champion Hurdle, but stepping up and trip from 2 miles to 2 mile 4, and it doesn't suit many of them. Rock on Ruby's going to be an interesting one. Only narrowly beaten in the race last year by the new one, and missed the World's Hurdle this year because he wasn't right. He didn't please in the gallop a few days before Cheltenham and was pulled out by Harry Fry. A lot of Harry's horses under the weather with a bit of a bug at the time. Yeah. And he seems to be shaking that off at the moment. So Rock on Ruby will be a very popular winner if he can win that. 2.5 miles is ideal trip, essentially. He's twice won over that trip this season at Cheltenham, and he's run well at Aintree before. So he would be more interesting than Arctic Fire, who I don't think is a stay. Although he runs on strongly at the end of his races over two, I don't think he's a stayer over 2.5. But obviously he carries the champion hurdle form in, was a very, very good second to Fahin and the champion, and he would be the one to beat strictly on form. Jetski, another one I wouldn't really have as a 2.5 mile horse. The surprise package might be Volney to Tie. Mm. He ran really well. He was only fifth in a handicap last time, and a lot of people will say, well, you can't win a grade one on the back of finishing fifth in a handicap. But he was giving lumps of weight away to the likes of Au Petit Swan and the Coral Cup. He carried top weight that day, and I thought was a big eye-catcher in not being beaten very far. This is his ideal trip. David Bass, who we were just talking about, rides him as well. He's going to be a double-figure price. I think he could surprise one or two there.
Okay, fair enough. Then another race that's had the decks out for is the Betfred Bowl Chase. We've priced up on this one as well, so it's Holywell the 7-4 favourite. Sovaniaco Conti is 9-4, 7-2 for Matthew Lure. Menora is 10-1, 14-1 Smad Place. Ballinagor at 20s, and Vakova is a 25-1 shot. A lot of support for Holywell, Rory.
Yeah, well, a very impressive winner at this meeting last year, and probably simply found the ground too soft for him when fourth in the Gold Cup. That was an excellent performance. Of course, he had Sovaniaco Conti behind him that day. There's no reason on that running why the form should be turned around, although if you go back another run or two, Sovaniaco Conti's form in winning at Haydock and Kempton and Grade 1 chases this season looks the best on offer. But again, he rather blotted his copybook at Cheltenham, and there is a worry about that run leaving a mark on him, more so than with Holywell, I think, because he's been very lightly raced this season, just beginning to bloom in the spring, whereas Sovaniaco Conti has shown his best form in the winter. And there is the possibility that a longish season, for all that's only been four runs long, will begin to get to him here. Of course, he won the race last year, so you certainly couldn't rule him out. Mafiul, I just wonder whether this trip is a little beyond her best. She did run well over course and distance in December. She might have won that race if they kept all the fences in, but she did weaken late in the day to finish last of three finishers that day in a race where Holywell unseated. Of course, Holywell will need to jump better than he did that day, but he did jump well at Cheltenham last time out. And that's a big positive for him, because I thought the soft ground would have been against him. He's not a big horse.
Yeah.
And he might struggle to jump out of softish ground. I'm not sure whether they're watering the Mildmay course. They're going to water the National course. Obviously, it's warm and sunny all week. I would imagine the going will be good here, and good ground will suit Holywell down to the ground. So it's no surprise to see him well backed. And of course, there's going to be a flood of money for him on the day from the £5 and £10 punters who are following AP McCoy at what could be his last meeting.
Yeah, absolutely. Holywell then remains the warm favourite for the Betfred Bowl then at 7-4. One last piece of Aintree news as well. It looks as though Underso is going to go to the novice chase. Obviously, he was frighteningly impressive in the Arkle. Must have every chance if he went to that novice chase.
Every chance is probably understating that a little bit. A little bit of the gloss came off that performance when you looked at how impressive his stable companion was on the Thursday. But he was ridden to do the job very professionally, and given that those who've been against him have been against him on the grounds that he's a bit of a tearaway and he wouldn't handle the scenario at Cheltenham, well, he did everything right that day. He settled, he quickened when Ruby asked him to do it, and he looked thoroughly professional. We already know he's a monstrous talent. Aintree is going to suit him even better. He had shown all his form on flat tracks essentially before he went to Cheltenham. That was one of the questions against him. He wasn't monstrously impressive in terms of how he won that compared to Vautour, for example.
Yes, sure.
But that's because Ruby was trying to ride him with a degree of restraint and was asking him for an effort only between the last two fences. At Aintree, you can imagine he just let him bowl along and try to put them to the sword, and he could be a real joy to behold if he's allowed his head at the entry.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, really looking forward to that performance. We'll move ahead then to take a look at some of Wednesday's action. Four races we've got for you, three from Nottingham and one from Kempton. We'll start at Nottingham with the first of the day on the podcast. This one comes up at 3:10. It's a 5-furlong event, a Class 3 contest with 7 of them lining up to contest it. Who do you like the look of here?
The one to beat is going to be Spinetrix. It's these early season conditions races can be a little bit tricky, but in terms of last season's form, there's only one you can look at. You don't expect mares to suddenly improve at the age of 6, but that's what Spinetrix did last year. She handles all types of ground. She was a winner in Good to Firm at Ripon in September. She then followed up off a handicap mark of 105 at York on softish ground, and then ran well in a listed race on heavy at Doncaster on her next start. The performances she put up in terms of form and speed figures, both at Ripon and in York, were monstrous. They're really good performances. and because this is a conditions race rather than a handicap, she gets weight from all the fields. She's getting £5 from Dutch Masterpiece, for example, who only ran once last year and finished last of all in a handicap at Newbury. So for all, Dutch Masterpiece would be very interesting on his old form. 2 seasons ago, he looked very, very progressive. He won a Group 3 at the Curra, landing a hat-trick and doing so, but disappointed in his final start in the Prix de la Baye when they tried him in blinkers, which was very strange. That was after a bit of a break, and suggested that something had happened at home that made them feel they needed to try him in headgear, despite the fact that he'd done so well without it. He was then off again until April last year when he made the running and then stopped quickly at Newbury and wasn't seen since. So clearly there are questions for Dutch Masterpiece to answer. But, you know, it'd be nice to see him pick up the progressive thread again, but it'd be an act of faith to do so. Whereas Michael Dodds, who trains Spinetrix, he gets his horses ready early. They do particularly well through the months of March, April and May in the north, historically. Spinetrix herself ran very well first time out last season, so we'd expect her to be ready. We know she'll handle the ground. The advanced going for Nottingham is soft, heavy in places, and that will be against a few of these. Dutch Masterpiece has won on soft ground, but his very good performances 2 seasons ago when he improved markedly all came on good or good to firm ground. So slight question mark for him. That's also the case with something like Humidor, who again progressed reasonably well last season. One who could run above her price, although she will be a big price, is Megalika. She will be fit. She's been kept on the go in the all weather this winter. She's from a yard who's got his horses in good form. That's the yard of Alan Bailey. And one or two of these I can see disappointing. Megalika will run her race. She might be an interesting one for forecast, but Spinetrix looks a shade of odds on to me, and if you're getting 6-4 or thereabouts about her when the market opens, that would be very interesting.
Okay, Spinetrix then getting the vote for Rory in that that 3:10 at Nottingham. Next up then, we remain at Nottingham for the 3:40, the big race of the day. Well, anywhere really, we've got a listed stakes event for you. 1 mile and 6 the trip in this one. 7 of them line up, and quite a few of these making their seasonal reappearances, Rory.
Yeah, again, the Further Flight Stakes, a race that the great horse won himself, now also named in honour of Barry Hills, who trained Further Flight. And it's full of potentially progressive older stayers. It's an interesting race to see where they stand before some of the group races, the Henry II, for example, at Sandown. Forever Now is the obvious horse to start with. He was 6th in St. Ledger, not beaten very far. That was arguably his best performance. Prior to that, he'd beaten a couple who were behind him in the St. Ledger in the March Stakes at Goodwood, making all the running. He's very straightforward. He impressed me when he won his maiden at Doncaster. For all that wasn't a hugely competitive race, he just looked a very scopy sort who was clearly taking a path towards the St. Ledger but going a fairly quiet route about it. A little bit unlucky at Newmarket on his next start, where the heavens opened just before the race started, which wouldn't have helped his chances there. Liable to progress again this season, looks sure to be the best of these in time. The only question is that all his form last season came on a quick surface. Going was just on the quick side of good for the St. Ledger. It was very fast at Goodwood. It was verging on firm at Goodwood when he won the March Stakes. And obviously it's going to be soft, and we're talking heavy in places. And that's a little bit of a concern. In terms of his build, you would have thought that he's built to deal with that kind of ground. He is big and strong, and horses with his size and scope tend to do reasonably well on this ground. But it is a question mark, and he looks like he's going to be no bigger than 6-4. So when you're backing horses at a short price who've not been on a race course for a while, that might make you think twice about it. But he does look the standout in terms of future progression in this race. If you're looking for one who maybe lacks that sort of class but will revel in the conditions, Island Remed would be the one. She's fit. She was runner-up in a condition stakes at the Lincoln meeting. And she ran her best race last season when splitting subsequent winners in the St Simon Stakes at Newbury on heavy ground. And that race is historically run on very bad ground. So we know she'll handle it. She's very, very game. She's nowhere near as good as Forever Now in terms of group race aspirations. She's not going to win a Group 1, whereas Forever Now could easily turn into a cup horse. But it's all about tomorrow's race. It's not about the future if you're having a bet in this race. And Island Remed will be ready to run and will handle conditions and should... certainly hit the frame. She looks at it's not, you know, you'd like to see 8-9 runners guaranteed to go to post for this, so it's not like she stands out as an each way bet, but I'd be very surprised if she's out of the first two.
Okay, yep, fair enough then. Island Remed getting the selection then for Rory. Next up, from Nottingham, we have the 4-10. This one is a mile handicap. It's class 3 event with 9 of them lining up to contest this. Anything standing out here?
Again, not the easiest in the world. John Gawson potentially holds the key to it with the lightly raced Sacred Act. Only had the 2 starts, both with plenty of give in the ground. Really impressive around this time last year, almost exactly a year ago, in fact, when winning a Nottingham maiden on soft ground, and was then strongly fancied to win on his handicap debut at Sandown. That was turned out to be a very competitive affair, but he didn't give his running. Only finished 5th behind What About Carlo. What About Carlo, I believe, went on to win it at the Derby meeting at Epsom in a competitive handicap after that. And the chances are that Sacred Act has an awful lot more to come. The downside is his last run was the 25th of April last year. So made his debut on the 9th of April, ran again 2 weeks later and has not been seen since. So you don't know what issues he's had, but clearly he retains scope for improvement as long as whatever his problems are have been... overcome. John Gosden showed a couple of times last year that he's able to bring decent handicappers off a long layoff, GM Hopkins being a very good example of one who won after a layoff last season. So that's not normally an issue for Gosden. And Sacred Act is the one to beat as long as you can take on trust that he will come here ready for it. Most of them are a little bit more exposed. Trailblaze will have benefited from a run behind Johnny Cavagan at Doncaster on the Sunday of the Lincoln meeting. He'll come on from that. There are a couple who ran in the Spring Mile at Doncaster. Urart Is On Fire and Le Chat d'Or. They were both probably ready for that race, so won't come on for it in terms of fitness. But Urart Is On Fire potentially was better than the bare result, was the only horse who was drawn very high to get involved in the finish there. Finished 3rd, marginally in front of Le Chat d'Or, who was 5th. They both have fitness on their side and should run their race. So it's a competitive contest. You've got Sacred Act, who might just be a class apart, but comes with risks attached. And you have the likes of Urart Is On Fire, Le Chat d'Or, and Trailblaze, all coming from Doncaster with an edge in fitness. I would just come down in favour of Urart Is On Fire, who was 3rd in the Spring Mile, which looks very strong for him. Anyway, I think the first 2 are well ahead of the handicap mark there. And he also has the benefit that he was better than the bare result from a poor draw. So he just gets a verdict in what's a very, very tricky race.
Okay, fair enough. And Urart Is On Fire ends up getting the selection in the 4-10 at Nottingham. We'll move on then to some more weather action for our final race on the podcast. Over to Kempton for their 8:15. This one is a mile and a half handicap with 5 of them lining up to contest this front 3. Just the 5 runners, Rory, but a couple of decent sorts here.
Yeah, another really difficult race despite a small field, with 3-year-olds who are all unexposed as a rule and open to improvement. Prince of Paris we've seen plenty of. He's got a good win record. He's won 3 of his last 7 starts, has a good attitude, tends to give his running, but there are a lot of lightly raced horses up against him here, and you'd expect that 1 or 2 of these will progress past him. First of those, I would say, would be Man Luke, who's only had the 2 runs. Very much in need of experience on debut at Kempton last November, essentially being given a run at the end of the season for the sake of letting him see a race course so that the experience wouldn't be lost on him. Gelded then, I understand he's still not gelded. He turned out and won a maiden at Lingfield in February, comfortably under Thomas Brown. The bare form of that is seemingly nothing special, but he won it very cozily. Gives the impression again that he will come on in terms of the experience that he's had, and will prove better than a 71 rated handicapper. The handicapper certainly has been lenient with him with that opening mark, based on the impression he created. He hasn't done an awful lot in terms of the clock, the time he put up in winning that maiden was nothing special. But then again, he didn't have to. He was just being professional and winning the race that was put in front of him. So he probably starts favourite for this. And the other one who I think would be very interesting would be, in fact, there's two more who are very interesting, Process, trained by Amanda Perrott, who would not get first-time out winners. So it was somewhat of a surprise to see him win an 11 furlong maiden on his debut late last month. He looked good. I mean, Amanda's horses often take the eye in the paddock. They often look big and well, often just a little bit short of peak fitness, particularly on debut, and she wouldn't be terribly hard on her horses. They tend to stand out in the paddock. He was impressive when beating Aussie Andre et al. Over 11 furlongs first time up. Will progress from that. The extra furlong will suit him. It's difficult to know how strong that form is. There is a possibility it was a very weak maiden.
Yeah.
But visually, he was very impressive. And if he come on, if he comes on for that run, he, again, could be a fair bit better than 85. But very difficult to weigh up. Again, and that's also true of Vive Ma Feel, even, for Mark Johnson. She won what was a three-runner maiden, where a 2-5 favourite finished last of the three and didn't appear to give her running. But she won it impressively by five lengths. They went slowly early on and then sprinted. That should have put her at disadvantage. First-time outs, three-year-olds, should be unsuited by tactical affairs, and yet she came five lengths clear of her two rivals that day, and she's just impossible to put a handicap mark on. Handicappers essentially guessed with 80. She could be flattered by it. She could be £10 better than it. So a really, really difficult race to bet in, particularly with no idea how they're going to bet at this stage. I would hate to be an odds compiler, because I don't really know who should be favourite for that. I think Man Look will probably open up favourite, but in the shape of Process and Vive Ma Feel, you've got a couple who could be either £10 better than the form they've shown, or actually £10 behind it if they're flattered by winning bad races. The chances are they're both good prospects, but really, really, really hard to price up. And then, of course, you've got Prince of Paris, who you know is solid. You know that's going to give its running, and in terms of speed figures, probably comes out top, but then again has had a lot more chance of showing those. So the market's going to make a big difference as to who my selection would be in this, and it's difficult to pick one out at the moment. But you're going to make me do it, aren't you?
Yes, I am, yeah. I'm going to hold a gun to your head and say, you've got to pick one.
I'm going to go for Process.
Okay.
Simply because I think for an Amanda Perrott horse to win first time out, it has to be above average. So I will take the chance that the Process will prove that point by improving a chunk and winning on his handicap debut.
Okay, we're going for number one then on the card, Process, to land that race over at Kempton tomorrow evening. If you just spin us through then, please, one more time, your four selections for the action on Wednesday.
I shall. In the 3:10 at Nottingham, Spinatrix is going to be a short price favourite, but she does look to have the best form on offer. Two very solid wins in handicap company last season, and she receives weight from all the other runners. If she's fit, she's going to be very hard to beat. In the 3:40, I'm definitely keen to use Island Remed either as an each way bet. It's not a great shape for each way bets, or perhaps in without the favourite market. The favourite's going to be Forever Now, but he's liable to be very short. Slight question mark about him on very soft ground. That's not the case with Island Remed. And if you're betting without the favourite or with the favourite in forecasts or even each way, she's the one to be with. Going on to the 4:10 then, that's the mile handicap. I will go with Your Art Is On Fire, who has a fitness advantage over one or two of these. Sacred Act is the sexy horse in the race, but comes off a long layoff, whereas Your Art Is On Fire ran extremely well to be third in the Spring Mile from a bad draw at Doncaster, and he clearly comes here in top form. Sylvester D'Souza keeps the ride, looks the one to beat for me. And then in the 8:15 at Kempton, absolutely horrible race to price up. Never mind pick a winner off without any prices. But I will go with Process on the basis that Amanda Perrott very rarely has first-time maiden winners. And for one of hers to win first time out, it must be above average.
Okay, fantastic stuff. There we are then, thoughts of Rory De Laghi ahead of the action on Wednesday. And you'll hear it all live on William Hill's Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Stephen Powell, Craig Forsyth and Chris Pimlott in the studio. We've got all the action from Nottingham and Kempton, Lingfield and Catterick as well. So do join us then. But for now, thank you very much for joining me on the podcast, Rory, and good luck tomorrow.
Thank you very much indeed.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.